Welcome to the jungle. What's going on? A very good Thursday morning to you. My name is Jim Rome. Good show for you today. Let me remind you that the program is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. All right, the show sets up like this. I've got open phones to begin. I've got an interview with Las Vegas Golden Knights GM Kelly McCrimmon. That's at 40 past hour number one. In hour number two, we talk to Chris Mannix from DAZN. Sean Casey, the mayor, will join me in hour number three. And in the meantime, I'm looking for all of you to jump up. Get up in here. Let's talk. 1-800-636-8686. Use the telephone number. We're 4 days in. Off my two-week bender. I'm here for you. What do you want to talk about? Baseball getting it away. NBA with some scrimmaging. And more on the NFL. 1-800-636-8686. You can hit me up on Twitter at Jim Rome. And you can email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. That's the program. Also, we have episode 137 of the Jim Rome podcast, which I want to get into a little bit later on. It dropped yesterday. Damon West was my guest. An amazing conversation. Don't listen to that now. Wait until after the program, but I will give you a taste of that so you know exactly what it sounds like. In the meantime, today is one of those rare days where I'm going to have to play two songs to make my point. A couple of iconic songs. Here is the first one.
Ionic.
Alvin, hit me with some horns and some keyboards. Oh, hell yeah. What do you think of when you think about that song? What do you think about when you hear that music? There's only one thing to think of. That is the NBA. And the NBA is back. The NBA is back. Sort of. Kind of. If you squint really hard, it is. Because NBA teams in the bubble started to scrimmage yesterday. In other words, two teams wearing two different jerseys, playing against each other for the first time in more than 4 months. And it was the taste of what it's going to be like to play games without fans. I mean, it was kind of strange. It was really strange. It means we're going to have moments like this from before the Clippers Magic scrimmage.
Yeah, now please welcome the visiting team, the Orlando Magic.
Like, I'm not sure what's more surreal. The Orlando Magic being the visiting team in Orlando. The fact that nobody cheered. The fact that nobody was there to cheer them, or the fact that the public address announcer was actually asking the non-existent fans to welcome the Magic. All weird.
Now please welcome the visiting team, the Orlando Magic.
I would like all of you to welcome your visiting team, the Orlando Magic, in Orlando. Weird. No fans also means a lot of squeaking shoes, at least for now.
Clippers will come back down 4-0 with 8.5 to go in the first quarter. George pump pick on the right wing, drives down the right alley, bounce pass inside, and give Joakim Noah his first bucket as a Clipper. Position in the restricted area, and PG-13 found him on a beautiful dish inside. Welcome to the family, Joakim Noah.
That's something pretty interesting. That is Joakim Noah scoring for the Clippers. The Clippers in a scrimmage in Orlando. But even more important than that, did you hear that squeaking? I mean, that's an amazing bit of sound. And it means the guys will score nice buckets. Also, this is what we get in the bubble. Guys getting nice buckets like the way Lou Williams did right here. And once again, nobody there to respond.
Puts it in. Lou Williams so slippery offensively as he has a chance for three. 34 apiece. 5:20 to go here in the first half.
Just Lou doing Lou things. But it's weird. Look, it's not a criticism of the league or the setup. The court does look good. The video walls around the court are cool. It obviously just feels really weird and really different without the fans. Aaron Gordon had this to say.
It's really quiet, so you got to bring your own energy. You can hear everything that's being said on the floor. Kind of has a summer league type feel to it. And you really got to bring your own energy.
It's a good point. Now, Doc Rivers, one of the best coaches around and owner of one of the best coach voices around, did point out the upside. No fans means no coach voice for him because he's not going to have to yell over the noise.
Maybe I'll have a better voice by the end of this. I mean, who knows?
Maybe so. And I'm definitely not going to read too much into how the Clippers looked yesterday, or really how anybody looked yesterday. It was a reminder that being in great shape is one thing, but being in basketball shape is another thing. Playing NBA games, even an NBA scrimmage game, is a lot different than running on a treadmill or jogging through your neighborhood or even jumping on your Peloton. And it showed. Now, the one thing I do want to reference, the Clippers were doing some really interesting things with Paul George. And that's something you want to keep an eye on going forward, because it's a reminder of how versatile this guy is on the offensive end. Keep that in mind. They were doing some really interesting things with him. Now, again, I'm not going to read too much into the first day of scrimmages, but having said that, I'll be damned if I'm just going to ignore what the Denver Nuggets did against the Washington Wizards. There has been a lot of buzz over the past few weeks about Denver big man Bol Bol and how much he has developed over the past year. Let me remind you, as a refresher, Manute's son was expected to be a star at Oregon, but then he suffered a foot injury. Then he fell into the second round in last year's draft. Denver was able to acquire him, but he has not played in a single NBA game. But over the past few weeks, the hype surrounding him was building and building. The clips on Twitter have been really impressive. So the question was, how was he going to show up in Orlando? And then how would Denver use him? Would they slowly work him in, or were they going to throw him right into the fire? Check out this starting lineup for the Nuggets yesterday. The starting lineup for the Nuggets, starting at center, 6'11" from Duke, Mason Plumlee. Starting at power forward, 6'7" from Louisiana Tech, Paul Millsap. Starting at small forward, 7'2" from Oregon, Bol Bol. A 7'2"-3. Starting at guard, 6'8" from Syracuse, Jeremy Grant. And starting at guard, 7 feet tall from Serbia, Nikola Jokic. So that's right. What I'm saying is Paul Millsap at 6'7" was the smallest member of the starting lineup. You had a 7'2" guy at small forward, and you had a 7 foot tall first team all NBA center running the point. Let's get crazy. Let's get nuts. It's totally insane. And I loved it. If you thought that league was only about small ball, the Nuggets would like to have a word with you. Here comes tall ball. Here comes the long ball. And Bol Bol was incredible. Yeah, I know it's only a scrimmage in a bubble in Orlando, but he didn't just live up to all the advanced hype. My man smashed it. 16 points, 10 rebounds, 6 blocks, and he was doing stuff like this.
The number one field goal percentage team, over 50%. Number 13.
Get out of here.
9'7" wingspan.
Give me some. Give me some right now. Give it to me.
A block and then the three.
Bol Bol.
All right, so if you had trouble following that or you're not watching on CBS Sports Network, what that looked like was a block at one end of the court, dribble down, drain a three at the other. Impressive as hell. I mean, you're doing that in your first NBA action. I don't even care that it's a scrimmage. That was really impressive. I mean, that kind of thing is jaw-dropping when LeBron James does it, but it's mind-blowing when a 7'2" dude does that. As his coach, Michael Malone, said before the game, quote, "I can't teach 7'2". I can't teach a 7'9" wingspan. And I sure as hell can't teach a really soft touch all the way out to the NBA three-point line." End quote. No, sir. You can't teach any of that. Nor can you teach him showing up the way he did in his first NBA action and doing it against grown-ass men. He runs the court really well. He was starting the break, he was finishing on the move, and it was awesome. And the guy was a force on defense. 6 blocks. 6. Are you kidding me? Ask Michael Malone what he thought about it.
Yeah, it's his first game against NBA competition. And for him to go out there and get 16-10 with 6 blocks is great. You know, we put him in the middle of our zone, tried to funnel everything to him, let him block shots, he did a really good job of that. I think he got tired as the game went on, which is to be expected. He played 32 minutes, which was a team high. But, you know, he's only going to get better. He did a lot of really good things out there. Proud of him.
I got to say, so am I. I'm proud of him, too. That was cool as hell. And, yes, again, it was only a scrimmage, and it was a game where the Nuggets did not have Jamal Murray, Will Barton, Torrey Craig, or Gary Harris. So they're probably not running that long ball lineup out there to start a playoff game, but that was so different. So wacky, man. So fun. Welcome back, basketball. Welcome to the show, Bol Bol. This guy's incredible. Did you see any of that action? We just heard how it sounded. How'd it look to you? 1-800-636-8686. I mentioned today is the rare day where I'm going to need two songs. That's your first song. I will get to the other song a little bit later on. All right. In addition to that, I want to talk some football. I want to talk more about the Chiefs and specifically Patrick Mahomes. Like, no NFL starting quarterback ever had a two-year run to start their career the way Pat Mahomes has had in Kansas City. We all know this. What you might not know about Pat Mahomes, he wants to point out and remind everybody he really has not played football or quarterback that long. And that as great as he has been, and in fact, not just great, but historic, he's done things that nobody's ever done before. He still feels like he can get so much better, that he's still just learning to play the position. If that's the case, that's got to be scary as hell for every other D coordinator in the NFL. And even more scary that the guy knows it and believes it and is saying it. So I've got my thoughts on Pat Mahomes.
Mahomes?
Patrick Mahomes?
Mahomes?
Oh, and while there was a scrimmage or two in the NBA, actual baseball is getting underway today. The start of the MLB season. I want to get into that as well and exactly what that means and how that 60-game sprint is going to look and feel. In addition to that, I mentioned off the very top, we had an amazing podcast with Damon West. You may not know that name. If you have anything to do with college football, you probably do know that name. But if not, we're talking about somebody, and again, this is why I do the podcast, so we can have these long-form conversations with people you may or may not know that need a lot more room and a lot more real estate than I can provide for them on this show. Damon West is one of those guys. He needs real estate because he has got one of the most insane stories ever and one of the most insane comebacks ever. A guy who was given a life sentence in prison but got out after 7 years and completely turned his life around and is now a major player in college football. I want to give you a preview of that, which I will hit up a little bit later on. 1-800-636-8686. Also, I'm still going off the board on a few things, which is coming up a little bit later on. You know where to find me. Before I go to break, let me find a little reaction. Starting with John in New York. Jim, since November 8th, 2019, when I hear Round Ball Rock, I think about the lights going out on Connie Celica. Welcome back, NBA. John was in the house that night. Y'all, I'm not going to let that go. I love that you all have takes on that, but none of you were there to see it except John and I. Like, really, you're entitled to your take, no matter what it is or how bad it is, except on something you have no idea what you're talking about. You were not there. That guy can send me that tweet. Sean Rohasic tweets, the sports floodgates are opening up. How long will it last? I don't know, but I'll take what I can get. That's the bottom line. That really is the bottom line. Like, we need it. We want it. I'm glad it's coming back. Believe me, nobody's more happy about it than me. I've got a 3-hour radio program every day to talk sports. But it's a good point. We do not know. We have no idea how long it's going to last. No idea. You might even pose the question, is it the right thing to do? Is it a good idea? Or no? It's a legitimate question. Dear Rome Skillet, I'm so pumped about opening day. These MLB games without fans will be so fast-paced and exciting. Signed, The English Patient, playing in the group behind Bryson DeChambeau and pornos starring Diego the Sex Tortoise. Casey in New Hampshire. Damn, Casey, there's an awful lot to unpack from that. And I really don't have the time or the energy or the interest to do so. 1-800-636-8686. Come on in. Kelly McCrimmon at 40 past. Chris Mannix next hour. The mayor himself, Sean Casey in hour number 3. Hit me. Years of research, hundreds of tests, thousands of iterations. The result? The latest and dreamiest in sleep innovation, introducing the new mattresses from Casper. Yes, Casper's done it again with all new mattresses. Waking up with back pain? Introducing Zone Support, Casper's unique ergonomic system designed to keep your spine aligned when you sleep. And there is something brand new called AirScape. Engineered foam layers with perforations that help regulate your sleep temperature. From bedding, bed frames, even a dog bed, Casper has everything to build the dream bedroom that every kind of sleeper is looking for. I love it. My favorite mattress ever. Now, Casper is offering free contactless delivery and, as always, free returns. You simply go to Casper.com and use the code Rome. Get $100 off your mattress order, code name Rome, for $100 off. Terms and conditions do apply. See Casper.com/terms.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Welcome back. I'll tell you what's pumping me up. So many of you want to talk hockey. And I don't just mean Bella B. I mean so many of you want to talk hockey.
I love when
that Hitman Canadian tweets, the NHL in Seattle is returning. Release the Kraken.
Release the Kraken.
And your NHL Stanley Cup prediction. Hashtag Utah hockey.
I love when Utah hockey.
JJ Sportmo tweets, sound the hockey alarm. The Seattle Kraken are here. Looking forward to them hiring mascot, Captain Jack Sparrow. A lookalike from Hollywood Boulevard. And said the mascot was charging fans $40 for a picture. The champ Lef in Laguna is in. He tweets, I'm a huge fan of Bull Bull. Signed, Lizzo eating spaghetti.
Bull Bull!
Hey, Lef, you're the champ, man. Can't you do better than that? You did win the smack off again. All right, so in the meantime, hockey has a new franchise with a new name, the Kraken.
Release the Kraken.
So where do you come out on that? The Seattle Kraken. Hawks all geeked with a Seattle background. The Kraken is like a legendary sea monster of enormous size in Scandinavian folklore. That's what the Kraken is. According to the Norse sagas, the Kraken dwell off the coast of Norway and Greenland, and they terrorize nearby sailors. Which is kind of interesting, right? Because you see the theme here, right? Their baseball team is named after, like, sailors, the Mariners. And the Kraken dwells off the coast and terrorizes sailors. I see what you did there. In terms of my prediction, here's the problem with asking me for my NHL playoff prediction right now. Number one, we're not quite there. And I'm not just going to throw it out there. When you've got a perfect record the way I have in predicting the NHL postseason, I'm not going to jeopardize that with some off-the-cuff pick. I want to give it some more thought. I want to do some more research. I never put that out there without giving it significant thought first. So, no, you don't get that prediction yet. Hey, listen, I have a lot of pride. A lot of pride in that I've never been wrong. I don't know what that's up to, like maybe 20 years in a row. I've picked the NHL Stanley Cup winner. I have never been wrong. So do you really think I'm going to start right now? Not without doing my homework. Not without doing my prep. So you're not going to get a chance to react to my thought or my prediction, but I want your thoughts on the Seattle Kraken.
I'm cracking skulls.
I know one thing. If you name the team the Kraken, your fans are going to be named the Crackheads. So you've got the Kraken, supported by their fans, the Crackheads. And I think it goes without saying, they're going to play in an arena, which is already being called the Crack House.
Kraken.
Then again, that's better than Climate Change Pledge Arena. I'd rather see these guys skate around a rink inside of a crack house than a Climate Change Pledge House. Way to go, Seattle. And all your fans, the Crackheads. Man, it's just a matter of time, I hope. I can't wait to see all those crackheads in that crack house cheering on the Kraken. Good times. We just got to get rid of the virus. Mike D. Mike D for three. Release the Kraken.
Release the Kraken.
Thanks, plumbers. I don't get it. Yeah, I do. I just don't think it's funny. 1-800-636-8686. The Kraken. Yeah, hey, look, you can call that thing the Climate Pledge Arena. I'm calling it the Crack House. I don't care how much money they paid. I don't care what it represents. I'm calling it the Crack House. If you're going to name your team the Kraken and your fans are the Crackheads, hell yes, they're going to play in the Crack House. I think you're going to hear a lot of Liam Neeson going forward. You wonder, though, like, for now it's fun. Today I love it, but I wonder how that's going to look and feel in about 20 years. The Seattle Kraken. Think about that. When you drop a name or a mascot or a nickname on a team, think about that. Not do we win the press or not, how does that sound today? How is that going to sound and feel in 20 years? Is that going to sound awesome? Or is that going to sound really dated? I don't know. I just put that out there. Today it sounds pretty good. Because their fans are the Crackheads. And they play in the Crack House. At Steve PHX tweets, release the Kraken.
Release the Kraken.
Signed, a chiropractor working on a stubborn back. Well, if you were looking for some reaction for that name, you're getting it, Seattle. I want to hear from all you Crackheads. How badly do you want to get into the Crack House? And what do you think of your team being named the Kraken? There's a lot of crack going on. I think it's better a crack house than a meth house or a hoe house. Who wants to talk some hockey? It's good to hear that alarm. But I'll tell you what, it's kind of weird though, right? That the NBA and the NHL got top billing in the first half hour of the program over Major League Baseball when Major League Baseball is the sport that's coming back today. It's going to be a really weird season, a really unusual season. That's coming up. Also, again, I want to reference Patrick Mahomes. The only thing more impressive than this guy's start is this guy's mindset, is this guy's process, is this guy's approach, and the fact that he wants to remind everybody once again, I really have not played quarterback that long. I've only really played quarterback 6 or 7 years, and I can get so much better, and I'm determined to do so. It's got to be a really terrifying thought. Speaking of terrifying, I think we all have it in the back of our mind what prison is like. I mean, I'm not going to lie. I'm terrified of prison. And I know that this show, is heard in prison because I still get letters from inmates. I know this to be true. But I'm pretty terrified of prison. Most people I know are pretty terrified of prison. That's why prison exists, to be a deterrent. Damon West went to prison. And this was not, I mean, he got picked up on charges of burglary. But this was not a career criminal. This was somebody who got caught up in drugs, had to fund a habit, started to rob people, and got sent to jail. But a guy who played college football, came from good family, had a good job. And imagine what happens to a guy like that when he ends up in prison. If you wonder what it's like on the inside, you need to hear this podcast. He described exactly what it was like when he showed up and what he had to do to survive. And what it's like in terms of race on the inside. It is an incredible story to hear. And I will have that for you a little bit later on. One more telephone number I want to give you. The voicemail number is 949-385-0447. If you want to take part in the podcast, and again, it's a great way to get reps in. If you're not sure whether or not you can hang on this show, leave me a voicemail. 949-385-0447. This tweet is from @PhoenixTreeRat. Hey, Jim, what's a crackin' lackin'? Regards that guy. What's a crackin' lackin'? Mike D for three. Release the Kraken.
Release the Kraken.
Actually, what he tried to write was release the crack in. Thanks, Odom's pipe.
Odom's on the pipe. Staying up all night. Odom's on the pipe. Staying up all night. The first time he smoked it, it almost blew his head off in the big city streets. Beep, 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 beep. The only difference is in the smokers. He need to not. Odom's on the pipe. Staying up.
You probably
all
know who that
night.
Is.
Odom's on the pipe.
Yeah, we get it, Alvin. John in Little Rock.
You don't like that car. I don't like that
really regrettable song, but unfortunately one of his best efforts in years, and that goes way back. Making fun of Lamar Odom on the pipe. Come on, John. At Hitman Canadian tweets, Kraken will be great in 20 years, Jim. Signed, the Mighty Ducks of Anaheim. It's a fair question. How is that going to look and feel 20 years from right now? When we return, why don't we talk some more hockey? The GM of the Las Vegas Golden Knights, Kelly McCrimmon, is joining us. And how badly does that suck for baseball? Hockey getting top billing on the show with MLB firing up tonight. Not only that, but mostly about a NHL team that really hasn't played yet, still getting top billing. And an NHL interview to boot. Kelly McCrimmon is next. Chris Mannix next hour. Sean Casey in hour number three. First, if you want to know what's going on in sports, the very latest, here you go.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
In 2 weeks on CBS, the best golfers in the world. Head west where major accolades await. Brooks Koepka looking to take home his third consecutive Wanamaker Trophy. Will somebody else step up and take their place in history? The PGA Championship is live. It's August 8th and 9th on CBS. one 800 636 8686. We are in the process of connecting with the GM of the Vegas Golden Knights, Kelly McCrimmon. Talking hockey. Yes, baseball is getting underway. I have thoughts on the start of the MLB season. Also, breaking news that Mike Tyson is going to make a return to the ring. You've seen recent workout videos that went viral where Mike looked great. And apparently he's going to fight, wait for it, Roy Jones Jr. I feel like when I got into it with Bernard Hopkins and Roy Jones on Radio Row about what a bad idea that was because they were both over the hill, I feel like that was 20 years ago. More on that in a minute. I want to talk some hockey right now. In fact, we've been talking hockey for the entire first hour. We are joined by the GM of the Vegas Golden Knights. He was named GM effective September 1st, 2019. Previously served as the assistant GM. Before joining Vegas, he was the owner, governor, GM, and head coach of the Brandon Wheat Kings. Vegas is in first in the Pacific. Dallas versus Vegas, August 3rd, 6:30 p.m. Eastern. Kelly McCrimmon is my guest. Kelly, it's great to have you on. Before we get into training camp, Kelly, and a return to hockey, how are you and everybody around you doing right now during this most unusual time, Kelly?
Well, definitely unusual times. I think we're at the point now where we're extremely excited. We're close. It looks like it's going to happen. So we're 3 days left of training camp. Then on Sunday, we travel to our hub, which will be in Edmonton. And, you know, really, when you look back to, I guess, March 11th, 12th, when we went on pause, no one had any idea what the future held in store. And it's really encouraging that we're at the point now where it looks like we're going to get to play some playoff hockey.
Right. Kelly McCrimmon, my guest. Kelly, I'm curious, given how long you've been around the game and going back to your days as a player when you were growing up and then at the University of Michigan, what has it been like for you to go through a hiatus like this where you've gone so long without hockey?
Well, it's uncharted waters. And for today's player, the training is year-round, so it would have been the longest stretch that players around the NHL had ever been off the ice. So even though they would have had the opportunity to train, at their homes or wherever they could make arrangements. For them to be off the ice for this long would be really, really different for today's player. We had what they called phase two, where players could go back on the ice in small groups, which started early in June. So we were fortunate in Las Vegas that our players, almost to a man, stayed in town. So it gave us the opportunity to provide some ice and some training for the players during that period of time leading into training camp.
Kelly McCrimmon is my guest. I know that one of the things that you and the organization talked about with the players back in March was you wanted a team that gained a competitive advantage by how they handled the pause. I mean, can you make an argument that you could actually come out of this thing better than you went into it?
Well, I think in some respects, yes, Jim, based on health. So we, as the season went to pause, we're missing some key players out of our lineup that, you know, may or may not have been ready for playoffs if the original schedule was able to be played. So it's given us a chance to be completely healthy. I think in terms of the quality of play that I expect to see, it's given all teams a chance to get healthy. And ordinarily, when you play 82 regular season games and then 3 days later start your playoffs, teams are invariably carrying players into playoffs that have got bumps and bruises from the grind of a regular season. So this is going to be, I think, incredibly unique in that every team, for the most part, is going to be fully healthy, rested, and ready to go. So we talked about it with the players, again, about taking care of themselves and holding up their end of the bargain and, doing what we could to get a competitive advantage. So I've been really happy with what I've seen through camp. And, hopefully that positions us well for our team to play real well when we get to Edmonton.
We're talking to Kelly McCrimmon. So a lot to like in that. Because it is so different, though, the schedule had called for 13 days of training camp before heading to Edmonton on July 26th. Normally, when you have a training camp, then you have preseason, and that's followed by a long regular season. So how do you go about approaching training camp so you're ready to compete right away and hit the ground running?
Well, first of all, much smaller. So we had only 30 skaters at training camp. The league mandated that that would be the size of training camp. So, even by the fourth or fifth day, we were running one session of, roughly 25, 26 skaters. And, we were able to get right into systems, right into, kind of those systems that make up the foundation of your team. In our situation, again, a little bit unique in that Peter DeBoer, our head coach, came on board in January, so everything he was implementing at that time was on the fly. This has given him a real good opportunity to have his own training camp and to, really drill down on the different, systems that he wants our team to play. So that part has been, a little bit of a blessing in our situation.
In fact, Kelly, to that point, you had to make a tough decision and relieve Gerard Gallant of his duties as head coach. How tough a decision was that for you? And then what do you make of the job that Peter DeBoer has done since he took over?
Well, it was a really tough decision with Gerard. Of course, with the success our team has enjoyed as an expansion team, going to the Stanley Cup Finals in year one. We've had real good teams all 3 years, so that was difficult. Gerard was really well-liked and well-respected by the players, so it was a difficult blow for them. And I think with respect to Peter, he's done a really good job. I think we were, 15-5 or something in the 20 games that he coached. Our team has played real well. We were playing real well going into the pause, and obviously when you get to the playoffs, everybody's playing at a high level. It doesn't guarantee that it will translate, but we feel really good about our preparation and really good about the look of our team, the makeup of our team as we get ready to head into round one.
We're talking to Kelly McCrimmon, talking Vegas hockey. Speaking of the makeup of the team, Peyton Krebs was invited to training camp, which got a lot of people excited. He's only 19, but what's it say about him that you wanted him at camp, which is about preparing for high-stakes games?
Well, we drafted Peyton last June, and he at that time was coming off an Achilles injury, which prevented him from being part of our training camp last September. So this is the first opportunity for us to see him in a training camp setting, and for him to come in and fit in as well as he has with 23 veteran NHL players, I think really speaks to his hockey sense and his level of ability. He's made a very good impression. He's made a very good impression, and he's got a bright future, and we're really encouraged with what we've seen here through training camp. I know that the coaches spoke very highly of him, and again for our coaches, they'd never seen him in this setting before, so it was a chance for Peyton to make a first impression. And I think he's done a really good job of that.
Kelly, before you go, if you would, take me back a little bit. You and your brother Brad grew up in Plenty, Saskatchewan. So what was life like in Plenty, and what was it about hockey that you and Brad loved so much from the beginning?
You're right, Jim. That is where we grew up. So Plenty is a small farming community in Saskatchewan. And, you know, our dad farmed, or my grandpa farmed, and my dad was a really good senior hockey player. So he played and coached senior hockey, for many years. So for Brad and I, we were, always at the rink, always with our dad. And, hockey and farming were the two things that we knew the most about and had the biggest passion for. Brad and I were only a year apart in age, so of course we did everything together. And I sure appreciate it at the time, but perhaps even more in hindsight, the value system that it gives you being in a small town, growing up on a farm. I really think it's a big part of who I am today.
And there are more than a few people in the NHL who have a similar story and a similar background that say the same thing. Kelly, I mentioned off the top of the success that you had with the Wheat Kings, and because of that success, NHL teams were interested in your services, but you stayed where you were. Why was that?
The timing, I think, just a couple of different times, it just for me didn't work out with where the Wheat King team was at in their cycle, because junior hockey is a little bit cyclical, because players come in at 16 or 17 and then graduate at 19 or 20. The year I came to Las Vegas was the summer of 2016. I had some opportunities in the summer of 2015, but I thought that the Wheat Kings had a really good chance to win. They've been, my whole life, my whole career. I didn't want to leave the team, and if the team didn't win, I didn't want to have that regret that I, hadn't helped those players reach the championship level. So in 2016, the 15-16 season, we did win the WHL championship. Then the opportunity with Vegas came up, and it just the timing was right. I was really fascinated by expansion. I love building teams, which this is obviously what we've done here in Vegas. I had a lot of respect for George McPhee and his record as an executive in the game. It was clear right from my early discussions with George that we had fantastic ownership with Bill Foley. And it just was, I thought going to be an opportunity that very few executives ever get, that opportunity to build a team from scratch, to hire pro scouting staff, amateur scouting staff, your development team, your coaches, all of those people you have a hand in hiring. And as fascinating as I thought year one would be, which is the expansion year, it was 100 times that. It was just an incredible learning experience, first of all, to know every NHL organization right from top to bottom as we prepared for expansion. It was strategic. It was hard work. It was great relationships developed with people in our organization as we became a team. And that part couldn't have been, more fulfilling and more exciting than it was. And then, on the ice, in I guess what I call year two, which outsiders would call year one, the inaugural season, clearly it's gone considerably better than anybody would have expected an expansion team to do.
Kelly McCrimmon, my guest. Kelly, one last thought, if you don't mind. I'd love to ask you about your brother, Brad. Hockey fans, of course, remember Brad. He died tragically in a plane crash in Russia in 2011. What was he like as a person, and what was it like for you, as close as you were, to see him go on and have the success that he had in the NHL?
Well, Brad was a year older than me, so he was, he was my hero growing up, whether you think of it in those terms. I think as time goes on, you get a little more clarity just to what the people in your life mean. And, he was a great hockey player. He played junior A in Prince Albert. He was a great player there. He played 3 years in Brandon with the Wheat Kings, where he was a first-round draft choice. He had an 18-year career. He never played a game in the minors. He won a Stanley Cup. I always felt, and I even use this, with players in Brandon that I coached, there's a difference between playing professional hockey and being a professional. I always thought, Brad was all of that in terms of, just the responsibilities of giving back to people and remembering people. I thought that, that was always really important to him. So, obviously, miss him a great deal, but tremendously proud of him as a person and as a pro player.
Glad we could talk about him, and thank you for sharing your thoughts, Kelly. I'm Brad. He is the GM of the Vegas Golden Knights, was named that position September 1st, 2019. They're in first place in the Pacific. You've got Dallas and Vegas August 3rd. Kelly McCrimmon, our guest. Kelly, thank you so much. Good to finally have you on the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Jim.
Have a great day, Kelly. Kelly McCrimmon, there's an hour and a lot of hockey talk. Looking ahead to hour number two, the next segment is open if you want to get in here. Chris Mannix will be joining me at 10:20 Pacific time. The mayor. Hey, if baseball is firing up, if it's opening day of Major League Baseball, you know I'm going to run down the mayor, Sean Casey. He's always shot out of a cannon, but never more so than on this day. It's kind of a jungle tradition. Run down the mayor, Sean Casey, for opening day in Major League Baseball. That's coming up at 11:20 Pacific time. Also, can't wait to tell you about episode 137 of the Jim Rome Podcast with Damon West. Really, really amazing guy. Really unusual. Also, I want to talk about Patrick Mahomes. Talk about amazing and unusual. Patrick Mahomes. So unusual. We got into this with Charles Robinson. Can you think of a better player? Can you think of another superstar who's more well-liked? Can you think of another superstar who's a better guy? And then can you think of another superstar who is so self-aware and so humble? All these things describe Patrick Mahomes. And I'll tell you what I mean by that. There is your first hour. We're coming right back. You are in the jungle. I am Jim Rome. A tremendous Thursday to you. Phone lines are open at 1-800-636-8686.